I am close to, you know, Jesus Christ said to Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. So when I heard Brother Bembridge singing my favorite song, 333, I said it must have been heaven that said that he should preach that, to sing that. But it's good to be here. It's good to see. I don't want to call names, but it's good to see persons that I am familiar with. We just hope and trust that tonight, you know, we will be true to God's word. I want to ask you a question as we start. If you were tonight to hear something that God wanted you to do that you have not yet done, would you be willing to do it? Let me see the hands of those persons. If you were to hear something tonight that God wanted you to do that you have not yet done, would you be prepared to do it? All right. Amen. I want us to turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 3, verses 27 to 31. And if they haven't changed the text, if they haven't moved it and you're using the King James Bible, it says, where is boasting then? Verse 27. It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Or is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. From verse 30, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision by faith through faith. From this text, I want to talk tonight about the oneness of God and your salvation. The oneness of God and your salvation. I want us to turn with me and hold it. Wait for me there. James chapter 2 and verse 19 and Galatians chapter 3 and verse 20. The oneness of God and your salvation. The Bible not only teaches that there is one God, but it equally teaches that God is one. The Bible doesn't only teach that there is one God. It also teaches that God is one. But we are not meant to understand the oneness of God in Pentecostal terms. We must not be colored by Pentecostal theology about the oneness of God. Why? Because the Bible teaches that within this one divine essence, within this one divine nature, within this one divine substance, there are three personalities. The Bible teaches that not only is God one, but that there is but one God. Let's look at James chapter 2 and verse 19 and Galatians chapter 3 and verse 20. Let's hear the passage.
Thou believest that there is one God.
You believe that there is one God.
Thou doest well.
You do well.
The devils also believe.
Even the devils believe and tremble. So this passage is teaching us that there is one God. All right, let's turn to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 20.
Now a mediator is not a mediator of one.
Is not a mediator of one.
But God is one.
And I want you to keep that in mind. And I'm saying we don't mean the oneness of God like the Pentecostals misteach about God. That's not what we're talking about. The Bible teaches when we speak of the oneness of God, we have in mind the truth that there is but one true, infinite, eternal, self-existent being or essence. And that this one divine essence, the oneness of God, this divine essence is undivided and indivisible. And I'm not playing with words. God as one means that God is undivided and he is indivisible. What does that mean? God is not cut up into different parts. God is not to be seen as a piece of him over there and a piece of him over here and a piece of him down there. No, sir. God is one means that he is a united one. And I want you to keep following me. He is a united one. He is one. He is a concord one, if you want to call it that. He's not divided into parts. He's not divided into sections. Follow me. When we talk about the oneness of God, God is not composed of many parts. And when we say that there is one God, we mean that there is no other like him. We mean that of all the false gods, there is but one, watch me, there is but one true God. What we don't mean is that the God of the Amorites, what we don't mean is that the God of the Romans, what we don't mean is that the God of the Greeks, what we don't mean is the God of the Arawaks, what we don't mean is that the God of the Mayas. We don't mean, and the Bible doesn't mean, that all of these so-called gods make up the one true God. No, sir. No, no, no. Because there is no other like him. Amen. God is true, and he is the only one that is true. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 and 11. Quickly, Isaiah 46 and verse 9, and 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4 to verse 6. What are you saying, Eddie? We need to understand what we mean by the oneness of God. We need to understand what we mean when we say that God is one. We mean that he is not divided into sections. We mean that he is not divided into parts. We mean that he is the only true, self-existent, eternal, infinite God. That all of these false gods do not make the true God. There is but one true Jehovah God. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 to 11.
Ye are my witnesses.
You are my witnesses.
Saith the Lord.
Saith the Lord.
And my servants.
And my servants.
Whom I have chosen.
Whom I have chosen.
That ye may know.
That you may know.
And believe me.
And believe.
Believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that I am he.
That I am he. Read.
Before me.
Before me.
There was no God.
There was no God.
No God formed.
No God formed.
Neither shall there be
after me. Neither shall be. What do you mean, Isaiah? Isaiah is saying, of all the gods in the polytheistic world, Jesus, the God Almighty, is saying, I am the only true God. There's none beside me. What are we talking about tonight? The oneness of God and your salvation. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 6. I wish you could. Yeah.
Now you are full.
Now you are full.
Now you are rich.
Now you are 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4. Let me get it for you.
As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in
you
the
see,
world.
You see, the false gods, that's nothing. That's right. They cannot stand up against God. Amen. They are nothing. Read.
And that there is none other God but
and
one.
And that there is no other God
but one. What?
One. Amen. Read. Verse 6. Verse 6.
But to us,
there is but one God.
The Father of whom?
You can stop there. Here's my point. When we talk about the oneness of God, when the scriptures talk about the oneness of God, scripture is undoubtedly clear that there is a Father who is God. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1, there is
Paul, an apostle.
Not of men.
Neither by man. But by Jesus Christ. And God the Father.
So that there's a Father. Watch me. That there is a Father who is God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9 and verse 5. There is a Son who is God. Yeah? Read.
Whose are the fathers? And of whom as concerning the flesh
Christ came.
Who is over all? God blessed.
So the Son is God. In Acts chapter 5, I'll just leave this. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3 to 4, Peter says to Ananias and Sapphira, You have lied to the Holy Spirit. But then he says, you have not lied against the Holy Spirit. You have lied against God.
Yeah.
So what is this telling us? That within the oneness of God, there is a Father who is called God. There's a Son who is called God. There's a Spirit, Holy Spirit, who is called God. And that within the one God, there are these three distinct personalities. But there are not three gods. Amen. Well, let's turn now to the text that we read. Romans chapter 3.
Seeing. It is
in fact,
God.
Step down with me, Fabian, to verse 28, to verse 29, 28 and 29.
Therefore,
we conclude
that a man is justified
by faith
without the deeds
of the
law.
Let me stop there. One of the worst things you could ever do in understanding the Bible is to insert things into the scripture. You see, here's what the Bible does not say. It says, not, therefore, we're justified by faith, holy, alone, or only. There is no such thing in scripture.
No, sir.
And let me tell you something. Paul knows the meaning of only.
That's right.
If Paul wanted to communicate the idea that there is faith only that saves, he would have said it.
That's right.
Because he knows what the word only means. Well, how do I know that he knows that the word only means only? Read the next verse for me. Verse 29.
Is he the God of the Jews only?
Is he the God of the Jews only? You see, he's not the God of the Jews only.
No, sir.
So Paul said, if he wanted to say faith only, he would have said it. That's right. Because he knows what the word means.
Yeah.
He wants to communicate the idea that God is not the God just of the Jews, but that there is God of something else.
That's right.
He, if he wanted to tell you and me that faith only alone says, he would have said it.
That's right.
But that's another lesson. Watch this now. Paul, verse, go down now to verse 30.
Seeing it is one God.
It is one God.
Which shall justify the circumcision by faith. And uncircumcision through faith.
Stop there. The oneness of God and your salvation. In this text, verse 30, Paul tells us that the very way that God is going to save mankind will be one way. And one way only.
Amen.
Why? Because God is one.
Amen.
Here's what he says. He says, seeing it is one God.
Yeah.
Well, we know what he means by one God.
Yeah.
And you know what Paul is telling us? Because God is one.
Yeah.
Because God is one. Then he is going to save all of mankind one way, and one way alone.
Amen.
He is not going to save the Jews one way and the Gentiles another way. If the Gentiles are going to be saved, then they will be saved the same way the Jews are saved. If he's going to save the Jews one way, he's going to save the Gentiles the same way. Why? Because God is one. Watch me. What does that imply? It means that God is going to save the Gentiles the same way he's going to save the Jews. That he's not going to save the Jews a different way from the way he saved the Gentiles. They are going to be saved the same way, one way, every time, all the time. God is going to save mankind through faith in Jesus Christ and through faith in Jesus Christ only.
Amen.
Not, watch me now, not that faith only says that, is that what he's saying? He's saying they're going to be saved the same way. Watch me. The Gentiles will be saved by and through the same faith, Jude chapter 1 and verse 3. Titus chapter 1 and verse 4. The Gentiles will be saved by and through faith in Jesus Christ, just as the Gentiles are going to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. So uniform is God's salvation that God says we have a common certain things. Yes, watch this now. Jude chapter 1 and verse 3. What do we have? A common thing. Read.
Beloved. When I gave all diligence to write unto you.
To write unto you.
Of the common.
Hold it. Of the common.
Salvation.
Salvation is common to both Jews and Gentiles. Salvation is common to all men everywhere. Now look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 4. Common salvation. Read for me Titus chapter 1 and verse 4. Titus 1 and verse 4.
To Titus.
My own son.
After the common faith.
Hold it. There is going to be a common faith. There is going to be a common salvation.
Yeah.
There is going to be a common Savior.
Amen.
You don't know what I'm saying yet. Watch this now. The idea of common faith does not mean that faith is cheap.
No, sir. No, no.
It doesn't mean that faith is profane. What it means, this common faith, this common salvation, is that there is a mutually held faith that puts each man in accord with one another and with all Christians. It means that salvation is common. It is of the same kind and equal quality. If mankind is going to be saved, they will be saved by a common Savior.
Yes.
We will be saved by a common obedience to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because we are told in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 that there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not only that, we not only have a common Savior, a common salvation, a common faith, but there is going to be a common body. Watch this now. The idea that you have your faith and I have mine, that there are many ways to the one God. The idea that you can be saved in this church that way and I can be saved in this church this way runs contrary to the one, let me put it up back. It runs contrary to the oneness of God. Because that's Paul's argument. Paul says, seeing that God is one. What do you mean, Paul? Because God is one. Since God is one, he is going to save man the same way every time. He's not going to save man in different ways. He's not going to use a different savior to save man. He's not going to use people to be saved in a different church. No. Why not? Because of the oneness of God. Let me pin this down for you. The oneness of God also suggests that there is just one body of the saved. And that if mankind is going to be saved, then we will all be saved in that one body. The one body of Christ does not and cannot mean that all the different churches with its different teachings, with its different beliefs, with its different practices constitute the one true church. Why? Because all of the false gods do not constitute the oneness of God.
Amen.
If you make the argument, if you claim that you can be saved by your faith and I can be saved by my faith, but that my faith is different from your faith, then you are undermining the very nature of God. Because God is one. He will save Jews the same way through faith in Jesus Christ, just as he's going to save Gentiles the same way through faith in Jesus Christ. The oneness of God. Watch this now. The oneness. What do we mean that God is going to save all of mankind in one body? Why is he not going to save you as a Baptist, me as a Christian, you as a Pentecostal, you as an Anglican? Why? Because of the oneness of God.
Yeah.
Because you see, God is not divided into parts.
No, sir.
And therefore, because he is undivided and indivisible, the place in which he saves will not be divided, nor will it be divisible. Why? Because of the oneness of God. Watch this now. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 to 16. And then I want you to wait for me at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Let me make my point tonight. The oneness of God suggests that there cannot be different churches in which we are saved. Because, notice with me, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 to 16. Read the text.
But now. In Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus.
You who were sometimes.
Far off.
Are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
The blood of Christ. Read.
For he is our peace. Who hath made both one. And hath broken down. The middle wall of partition.
Read.
Abolished in his flesh.
The
enmity.
Even the law of commandments. Ten commandments gone. Read.
For to make in himself.
Of twain.
One new man.
So making peace.
And that he might reconcile.
Both.
Unto God.
In one body. Watch this now. Watch this. I don't want you to just run over the text like that. Let's get back to the text. Now, first of all, I want you to notice that we are told that at one point in time, hold it now, at one point in time, there was a middle wall of partition. What is that middle wall of partition? It was the law commanded in ordinances. It was the same thing that Sabbatarians are trying to keep tonight. But you see, it's gone. Jesus says, as long as that stood, Paul tells us, that there is a division between Jews and Gentiles. Yeah. And as long as the law stood or stands, I should say stood because it's gone.
Yeah.
The fact is, as long as that exists, there was at one point a division between Jews and Gentiles. How do I know that? Go back to the text. Now, in verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made near, drawn near by the blood of Jesus Christ. I also want you to see that there is in the text let me use a big word, dichotomy. All that I mean, two things. That's all I mean. Now watch me. I want you to notice something here in the text. Read verse number 14.
Read it in your Bible. He is our peace.
For he is our peace.
Who hath made both.
Both.
One.
One. There was a time when both was both. But because of what Jesus did at the cross, both have become one.
Right.
Read now for me verse number 15.
Having abolished in his flesh.
The enmity.
Even the law of commandments.
Contained in ordinances.
For to make in himself.
Of two.
One.
Hold it. That is a King James word, twain, meaning two. He has made of twain.
One.
New man.
So making peace.
That's verse 15.
Yeah.
Look at verse 16.
And that he might reconcile.
Both.
Unto God.
In one body. You see that? This is the dichotomy I'm talking about. But watch this now. Watch this with me. Because of the oneness of God, because God is one, it was never God's intention to save Jews as Jews and Gentiles as Gentiles. So that one of the purposes of Jesus' death on the cross, one of the purposes of his death, was to create the opportunity of bringing back man to oneness. So what did he do? He tore down the middle wall of partition that stood between us. And so he made Jews and Gentiles both into one. He made the two of twain one new man. So there's no longer twain. He is going to reconcile both in one body. Now watch me. Jesus' death on the cross accomplished oneness.
Amen. Amen.
Now let me ask you, think with me tonight. If God did not want to save Jews as Jews and Gentiles as Gentiles, if it took Jesus Christ going to the cross to break down the wall of partition so that we can become one like himself, oneness, why do you think that God is going to save man in 300 different groups with 300 different beliefs, with 300 different practices, with 300 different teachings? God is not going to do that.
No, sir. No, sir.
How do I know that? Because of the oneness of God. Now, what do I mean? Not me, because I'm nothing. What does God mean when he says he is going to save man in one church? Does he mean that the one church that he is going to be saved people in is an umbrella church? Does it mean that he's going to save man as an Anglican? Does it mean he's going to save man in the Moravia? Does it mean he's going to save man in the Church of Christ? Does it mean that he's going to save man in Methodist, in Jehovah's Witness, in Seventh-day Adventist? Mormons. Just name them. And if we're here tonight, we can name all about 300. Because you see, you have the Church of God. Then you have the Church of God in Christ. Then you have the Church of God of prophecy. Then you have the assemblies of the Church of God. Then you have the Church of the Firstborn. What are we doing with so many churches of God? Each of them with different teachings, different practices. God does not want that. Why? Because of the oneness of God. That's confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. But I'm not done with it yet. I'm not done with it yet. Let me tell you what the Bible means by oneness. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs.
Hold it. Why does he say fellow? Because you see, he's talking about Jews and Gentiles. That the Gentiles might be
fellow heirs.
Fellow heirs with Christ. Yeah.
And of the same.
Of. Not different.
No, sir.
Hold it. Of the same.
Same body.
Of the same church. Mm-hmm. Of the same body. Of the same church. Of the same body. You know what that means? If God is going to save man as Anglicans, then we will all be Anglicans. If God is going to save man as Methodists, then we must all be saved as Methodists. We are not going to be saved as Church of Christ and as Methodist different. No. We are going to have to be saved the same way.
Same way. Same body.
The same body.
Yes.
Believe the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Practice the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because of the oneness of God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not done yet.
Yes.
I hope you have time. All right? I'm going to be here for another 1 week or so. I have time. Watch me now. Brethren, we must be saved in the same church.
Amen.
That's what the Bible means by oneness. But not only that, the oneness of God means that if we are going to be saved, then we're going to be saved the same way.
Okay.
Don't lose me now. Because you see, I can go. Let's go to a church. Let's go to some churches for a week. In fact, let's go to some churches for the next month. So, let's deal with the longest month. The 1st, the 8th, the 15th. I hope my math is right. 7 and 15 is 22. And the 29th. Let's go to church. You go to the first church, number one, in the first month, and you hear that all you must do is say the sinner's prayer. Where they get that from, I don't know, because that's nowhere in the Bible. So you come to this church, and they tell you, you can be saved by this sinner's prayer. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I'm inviting you to come into my heart and save me now because I trust you. All right? You go to the Nera church on the 8th, and you're told that you must be confirmed to be saved. You go to another church on the 15th, and they told you that you must accept the ABC plan of salvation. You must accept, you must believe, and you must confess. You go to another church, and they tell you that if you want to be saved, you have to hear God's word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and you must be buried in water. You go to another church, and they tell you, no, all that you need to do is to just confess to the priest, and we will appoint and select you as a member. You know why that is wrong? It is wrong because of the oneness of God. Because God is one, he is going to save Jews through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's going to save Gentiles through faith in Jesus Christ. He's not going to save man this way. 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 You know why? Because he has designed long ago that he's going to save man this way. And if you and I are going to be saved, then all of us have to be saved this way. Why? Because of the oneness of God. God is one. He's not divided into parts. Can I preach the last point now? Watch this. The oneness of God implies that we must all obey the one and the same gospel. And that there is no such thing as different faiths. But that there is only one faith, Selvin. What do you mean by that? That there is going to be one system of belief. That there is going to be one way to be saved because of the oneness of God. Now you see this idea about you have your faith and I have mine, and you don't have any right to tell me what I believe and what I should believe, and I don't have any right to tell you. That's just nonsense. You know why? It's nonsense because of the oneness of God. There is going to be but one faith. There is but one faith. Throughout the scriptures, there is an emphasis that there is no such thing as each person believing a different doctrine. Since there can be no, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 8, there can be no other doctrine but the doctrine that is preached by the apostles. Watch this. I marvel.
That you are so soon removed. From him who have called you. Into the grace of Christ. Unto another gospel.
Hold it there. Oh, yes, man. I knew it. There must be some other gospel. See there? Another. But you know what is your problem? You stop too quick.
Yeah.
you stop short. If you stop short, you can never finish the race. You can never get to the first line. I don't care if you're Bolt or Usain or whoever. I marvel that you so are so soon removed from him who have called you from the grace of God
unto another gospel.
Which is not another. Why, Paul? Because there can be no other gospel.
Amen.
Than the gospel that I preached.
Yes.
There can be no other truth than the truth that I preached.
Amen.
If that happens, then the person, watch this now, very, very important. He says,
but,
which is not another,
but there be some.
There are some
that trouble you. And would pervert.
And would, once there is another. I hope I can get my spelling right. There is going to be a perversion of the true gospel to make it another. Because there is no other gospel than the gospel which Paul preached. Why? Because of the oneness of God. Because God is one, there cannot be another gospel. Read, Fabian.
And would pervert the
gospel of Christ.
But though we are an angel,
or even not even the angel, has the right to preach another gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because of the oneness of God.
Amen.
It would run contrary to the oneness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Read, Fabian.
Or an angel from heaven.
Yeah.
Preach any other gospel.
Unto you.
Than that which we have preached unto you. Let him be accursed.
Now watch what I want you to get. Now, what I want you to get is that not only is the person who preach under the curse of God, but the person who believe it is also under the curse of God. Not just the preacher. Now, I'm winding down. There can be no other gospel than the gospel that Paul preached originally. Even if he were to change his mind and come and preach something different from what he first preached, he would be cursed. He would be misrepresenting God. He would be undermining the nature of God. Why? Because of the oneness of God.
Amen.
Now watch this now. Over and over again in the scriptures, we are told that there must be unity of belief. There must be unity of practice. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. And I need to write now. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10.
Now I beseech you, brethren. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That ye all speak the same thing.
Now watch this now. We must speak
the same thing.
We must speak
the same thing.
The same thing. Good. Read.
And that there be no divisions among you.
Mm-hmm.
But that ye be perfectly joined together.
Hold it. Read.
In the same mind. And in the same judgment.
You know what that means? We must all speak the same thing.
Yeah.
We must have the same mind, the same attitude, the same thinking towards the gospel. And if we're going to come to truth, we must have the same judgment. We must use the same means to come to truth. Why? Because of the oneness of God. You think they get that, Brother Michelle? Yes, I have more. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. I have more. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17.
For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy.
Who is my beloved son.
And faithful in the Lord. Who shall bring you.
Into remembrance.
Of my ways. Which be in Christ.
Hold it there. Are you looking in your Bibles? Don't look at me. Look in your Bible. Because I'm going to show you that Paul understands the oneness of God. Paul understands his responsibility. That if he's going to preach the gospel, he must preach the same thing. He is not going to preach a different gospel, Selvin. Notice what he says to his faithful son in the gospel, Timothy. He says what?
I will bring into remembrance
of my ways.
Which be in Christ. As I teach.
Hold it there. As I teach. Watch this now. As I teach.
Everywhere.
Hold it. Everywhere. Don't read it. Paul teaches the same thing everywhere he goes. He does not teach a different doctrine in Corinth that he speaks in Colossians. No. He doesn't speak a different doctrine in Thessalonica that he does in Ephesus. He teaches the same thing everywhere. Why? Because of the oneness of God.
Amen.
But not only does he teach everywhere in every church. In every church. So you know what? Paul says, when I go to preach the gospel in Thessalonica, Thessalonica is not going to hear a different teaching that I taught in Corinth. When I go to Rome, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul, that gospel, that same gospel that was preached in Rome, is the same gospel that was preached in Philippi. Why? He cannot teach another gospel because there is no other. Why? Because of the oneness of God.
Amen.
He has to preach the same thing everywhere in every church. He's not going to preach different things in different churches. No, he would be running contrary to the oneness of God. Not only that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Read.
Now concerning the collection of the saints.
As I have given order.
To the church of Galatia. Even
you, Corinth.
Ye.
Hold it. You, Corinth, do a different thing.
No.
You in Corinth, do something else.
No, sir.
No. The same as I have given order to the church of Galatia, you in Corinth, do the same thing.
Amen.
Why? Because there is no other gospel than the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why is it that there cannot be another gospel other than the gospel of Christ? Because of the oneness of God.
Amen.
Romans. Paul says God is one. Therefore, he will justify the circumcision through faith and the uncircumcision by faith. The same way, the same quality. He has to do that because of the oneness of God. Let me leave this with you. There cannot be different doctrines. There cannot be different faiths. There cannot be different churches. Well, there can be, but it won't be true. There cannot be different systems of belief. There's no such thing as a Catholic faith and a Christian faith. There's no such thing as a Baptist faith and a Pentecostal faith. Let me tell you something. Let me show you something. Jackie, that is Mrs. Fisher, she says that I am an antichrist. That's what she calls me. Because the kind of music that I listen to is not the ones that she listened to. Brother Mitchell, I love my Beethoven. I love my Mozart. I love listening to classical music. And I know it's not worship. I love to listen to the pipe organ. I don't know about it, but I just love it. And she said, you sit here, you're an antichrist, you know. But let me tell you something. Have you ever gone into a Catholic church, Roman Catholic church, and go right after in an Anglican church? I'm going to bet your last dollar that you won't know the difference. If they don't tell you who they are, you won't know the difference. As close as they are, a Catholic is not an Anglican. Close as they are, two things divide them. And I can tell you that because I was an Anglican. One, the Anglican Church does not accept the authority of the Pope. And two, the Catholic Church does not accept the intercessory right of Mary. That makes them different. But if you ever go into their worship, they look the same way. What is your point, Eddie? An Anglican is not a Catholic. Close as they are. The Church of God of prophecy is not the same as the Church of the Firstborn. I remember when Brother Palmer died, and we were going to the graveside, and I was sitting in a car with another lady, and I said, what I don't know, you know, which congregation do you go to? And she says, no, I don't go to your church, and I'm a Baptist. You know what she never said? She never said she was a Christian. She was a Baptist. Here's my point now, brethren. Notice in your Bibles that false doctrine, false teaching is always, all right? It's always in the plural. Always in the plural. Let me just give you two examples. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. And 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 and 2. Watch this now.
But in vain. They do worship me. Teaching for doctrines.
Doctrines, is it pluralized?
Plural.
Teaching for doctrines.
The commandments. Of men.
Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. Now the Spirit speaks expressly
that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith
and do what?
Giving heed
seducing spirits
and doctrines of devils.
Doctrines of devil. You know why? They are different. But you know, there is one true doctrine of Christ. There can only be one true doctrine of Christ. Why? Because of the oneness of God. Let me close. Let me tell you something now, and I'm closing. Tonight, the first question that I asked you was this. If tonight you were to hear something that God wanted you to do that you have not yet done, would you be willing to do it? And you said yes. Now let me tell you what God wants you to do. And if you're here and you have not yet done it, you need to do it tonight. For one thing, you promised you would do it tonight. And you know what too? The same way that the Christians were saved on the day of Pentecost is the same thing you are going to do now to be saved. You're not going to do anything different. Amen. If you were to do something different, it would be wrong. If you're going to be saved tonight, you will have to be saved the same way that the people on the day of Pentecost were saved. Amen. You will have to be saved the same way that the Ethiopian eunuch was saved. Amen. You have to be saved the same way that Paul was saved. You have to be saved the same way that the Corinthians were saved. You know why? The oneness of God says that you must. Amen. What did they do? Acts chapter 2. What did they do? I know I've kept you long, but it's good preaching, I think. Amen. Not because it's from me, but because it's Bible. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to verse 38. Now, therefore, let all the house of Israel
know
assuredly
that God hath made that same Jesus.
That God hath made that same Jesus.
Whom ye have crucified.
Whom you have crucified.
Both Lord and Christ.
Both Lord and Christ.
Now, when they heard this.
Hold it a minute there. Now, when they heard this, what did they hear? They heard the gospel. That same Jesus who was they had crucified, that God hath made him now Lord and Christ. Yeah? When they heard these things,
they were pricked in their hearts.
They changed their minds. They had a different attitude. They were pricked in their hearts.
And said unto Peter. And to the rest of the apostles. Men and brethren. What shall we do? Then Peter says to them, Repent. And be baptized. Every one of you.
You know why? The oneness of God. They had to repent and be baptized. What was the question? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Did Peter understand the question? Yes. Now let me tell you this. Every time, anywhere, at whatever time the question is asked, what must I do to be saved? Every time must be this answer. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Has to be. When you do that, verse 47, God will add you to his church. Amen. Tonight you're here and you're not a Christian. You need to hear the word of God. You need to believe it with all of your heart. Believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. You need to repent of your sins. Change your mind. Change your ways. Amend your ways. You need to repent of your past sins. You need to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you need to be buried in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you do that, God will add you to his church. And you know that you'll be obeying God because God wants that same gospel preached everywhere. What is the invitation song, brother?
553.
553. Let us
stand. We all together stand. Have you a heart that's weary?
Tonight you can come to God.
Standing as Lord of care. Are you a soul that's seeking?
Are you seeking for truth tonight?
Rest from the burden.
Do you want rest from the burden of sin?
Do you know?
You need to come to Jesus Christ tonight.
My Jesus.
You need to be saved tonight.
Do you know? My friend, have you heard?
Jesus loves you tonight. He wants to save you tonight.
And that he
will abide
till
the end.
Where is your heart?
If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, where is your heart?
What does your heart reveal?
What do you want to do tonight?
Oh, here's your call for comfort.
Jesus, here's your call tonight.
When not the sorrow you feel.
Do you know my Jesus?
Do you know my
Jesus? You know my friend?
My Jesus, do you know?
Have you heard that he loves you?
My friend, have you heard?
He loves you.
He
wants to save you tonight.
He loves you.
He will abide with you till the end.
That he will abide till the end. Knows your disappointment.
Well, Jesus knows.
Tell me now, here's each time you cry. Who understands
your heartaches? Who will drive the tears from your eyes? Jesus will do it tonight. Do you know my
Sing
Jesus?
Now, do you know?
Do you know my friend?
Do you know my Jesus? The question is
you can
asked,
mourn tonight.
Do you know?
He loves you tonight.
My friend.
He wants you to be saved.
Have you heard? He loves you. And that he will abide till the end. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide